how would you want to feel? Because that's the most unique identifier as to who we are as a human being, how I want to feel. And I get everybody says happy. We don't really know what happy is anymore. Yeah. It's like such a generic word.
Many meanings to it, because I get it, happiness, but happiness has a different definition for every person. Mm-hmm. The generic definition is for us to just live in the best life and just having everything we want. But I feel like happiness, they confuse happiness with peace. Mm-hmm. I don't want happiness. I want peace. Mm-hmm. I want peace. I want
and that's
peace.
Your happy, right? Yeah. So like my intentions this year are bold, open love. That's what happiness feels like. It feels bold, it feels open, and it feels like love. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's my truth, then that's all I have to do every day is show up as bold, open, and love. If I do that, I can self-validate and say, yes, I am awesome. I showed up the way I wanted to, even if the world burned down around me. I have no control over all the things. But as long as I showed up as bold, open, and love, then I know that I've been successful during the day. And that is so important, because I used to have these goals that you can't control all the things to a goal. And I would get so upset because the thing would show up with a blue bow instead of a red bow. And I would be so, you know, all of a sudden the whole project was trash because the one detail didn't show up the way that I wanted to. Instead of saying, you know, did I show up the way that I wanted to? Do I feel good about the way that the energy I brought to the situation? And if I do, then I can feel good about myself, even if the wrong bow came or, you know, it rained on the wedding, whatever it is. I can feel good about it. And that's one way that we can self-validate and stop overthinking things. And bring ourselves back down to what it is that we actually want. And that's actually, like, to me, the definition of thriving, something that I'm going after instead of something I'm running away from. Because to me, surviving is like, there's a problem and I just want it to be fixed, or I want it to go away. So I'm kind of running away from the discomfort of that problem. And thriving is I'm running towards something I really want. And surviving is a lot easier for us, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. It's just built into our DNA. So having to, like, the trick that we can do is, like, constantly refocus our brain back to what is it that I actually want? Because all this stuff back here can keep us busy and anxious forever. And we can completely forget about where we want to go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just realigning to my intentions every day. How can I be bold, open, and love today?
Yep. And just switching up your perspective of things, like you said, like switch up your perspective of it, like, because a lot of people go through a lot of things, we look for the things to validate what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're searching throughout our day to validate the horrible parts of us. See, I told you I wasn't a good person because this person said this to me, or I told you that I wasn't going to accomplish because, like you said, you got the blue bow instead of the red bow. You know what I'm saying? Like, those things, we're looking for those things. So now we need to switch up the perspective and see, like, oh, I am bold because I did this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this happened. I am this. You got to switch up that perspective and search out those things instead of those things that validate those negative voices, those negative thoughts, those things that's keeping you stuck and keep you in a place of not loving yourself, keeping you in a place of not moving forward in life.
I 100%. I had a client who, she's like, I just don't know what happy feels like. And so we felt into it, and this word freedom came out, and she looked like a little jolted. And I was like, what was that about? And she goes, it just feels so big and hard and scary. And I'm like, well, then that's probably the perfect word for you for this year. And so she's been looking at this. She has a couple other words too, but the free word that she thought was going to be so hard, she's like, actually, when I look around my life, I see all the choices that I actually do have, that I am actually free, that, okay, freedom doesn't feel, I'm not going to, like, get on a plane and run away from my family or anything. Like, that doesn't have to be what free is. But free to me is, like, I can make a choice in this situation, that I have more than one choice. Even if I don't like all my choices, it still means that I have freedom. So she is absolutely finding more freedom because that's what she's focused on looking at, right? So whatever we're looking for, that's surely what we're going to find. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on what we want is a lot more helpful than focusing on, I mean, problems back here. They always happen. I grew up really poor. People can get anxious about money. It's one of the biggest things that they get anxious about. And I just want you to hear, money comes in, money leaves, money comes in, money leaves. Like, and I'm going to figure out if we get to be homeless, I'm going to figure out what we're going to do. And if we have a castle, which we would never have, we would just have a small house, big property, I'm going to figure out what to do too. But like letting go of some of that anxiety, some of us can get so addicted to the anxious feelings, like it almost becomes an addiction that our body is just always looking for them. And this is one way that we can switch out of that survival mode and more into that thriving mode of like, well, what is it that I actually want? And it doesn't mean both things are true. I'm not asking anybody to ignore their problems, but often there's problems where we can't really do anything about it. We're just thinking about every worst case scenario that could happen. None of that is helpful. None of that is helpful. So, you know, if there's not something that you can actually do about it, then I usually say, all right, problem, there's nothing I can do about you this week. I'm just waiting for these other things that I can't control. And so I'm just going to wait till next Wednesday. And next Wednesday, I'll check in with myself around 4 o'clock and I'll say, hey, is it now there anything I can do? And if there's not, I'm going to push it off another week. And that's how I manage my anxiety around things, really, is just that there's nothing I can do about it. Just sitting here and spinning my wheels is just going to make me feel icky and anxious and crazy.
And stuck. And I love that you talk about the money, because a lot of people get it welled up in about money and things like that. And I noticed like we put ourselves in predicaments where we make ourselves unhappy because of money. And I want people to let go of that. Like people working jobs and being around people or doing things that's not bringing them happiness or not letting them explore their version of happiness or peace, because they think they're required to do this because society said, you got to do this, you got to do that. I need to be doing this. I need to be doing that so I can pay for this and that. But little do you know, if you start loving yourself, you start to attract and you start to walk towards things that brings in that joy and brings in that happiness, and you can go into spaces that you feel comfortable. So I don't want you guys to stay in a job or relationships or places that are bringing you heartache or bringing you distress because you feel like you're required to do that. A version of self-love is walking away from things that are not serving you, even if it's bringing you a lot of money. It's a problem.
It costs something, right? I mean, that's really what it is. It's costing the most important thing, which is, you know, that your enjoyment of life. What is the point of life if we're not feeling some type of joy or some type of happiness, whatever. I'm not saying it's going to always be 100%. We all have parts of our job that we don't like, right? Like social media and whatnot. It's not my favorite thing to do. And yet, you know, in order to have the parts of the job that I really love, I do those things. So I'm not saying that we never have to do things that we don't like to do. And if it's really costing you your peace, you know, if it's costing you connections with your families that would be really, you know, awesome, if it's, you know, costing you quality time with your family, to me that's too big a cost. And we don't really add those costs up, right? We just see, oh well, if I worked an extra 4 hours, I can make some overtime, and instead, you know, I could be home with my family and loving on them, and that would probably last me a lot longer than those 4 hours of overtime money. And that's what we have to start thinking about.
I had to do that because I was a worker. I was working my butt off, and I was like, yeah, I was able to provide everything I needed to provide for my family, and then I lost the connection with them. And I'm like, yeah, it's not worth it. And I realized when I cut my hours back, I was still able to sustain. Like, did I need those extra hours? No, I was being greedy because I thought I needed, like, oh, I need to save that. And my life did not change or switch when I cut those hours off, except for the relationship with my kids. It got better.
Right. You had a little bit more time for yourself.
We always manage to manage. You always manage to figure it out if you put the right things in place and you plan yourself and you organize yourself. Because when we got extra money, we usually get extra expenses. I'm like, I got extra money coming in, so I add extra things to my roster where you don't actually need those things. So it's just like analyzing yourself, and like, is I'm am I actually causing myself extra more heartache or more frustration by keep adding things that I really don't need, but I think I need because I have access to money? And now actually evaluate what you truly want in your life and what you truly need, and then just focus on those things instead of all the extra things that you think that you need to just exist in this world. You know what I'm saying? The world thinks, I need the newest car, I need the biggest house, I need 70 TV, I need the biggest TV in my house, I need to have all this. Like, no, we have two TVs and we have Wi-Fi. I don't even do cable no more, because who watch TV? Like, why is I paying for cable? Nobody even watch TV no more. They're on YouTube, you're on Netflix. Everybody just get a subscription somewhere. Like, just realize what you're actually spending your money on, and just analyze what you're actually using. Are you using all these things that you're buying, or are you just buying them just because you can?
Or you're buying them because you're working so much. I mean, I think that the addictions that we don't talk enough about in this country, because we are a capitalist society and I'm a really bad consumer, is that when I started really loving myself and knowing who I was, I didn't need all the extras. Mm-hmm. When I started minding what I was doing for a living and felt a lot less stress, I didn't need to go to Starbucks. I didn't need to go to all these places and spending money. We hardly buy anything now. And it's not that we can't. We just, first of all, I don't like shopping. But what I realized is, like, when I was young, we were really poor. There was like five kids, and my parents made, I think, 20 some thousand dollars together. And so there was like no money. When I was in my 20s and I was bartending and going to school, I could afford whatever I wanted. And sure, at first I started buying myself clothing. I got the new car, I got the thing. And I realized they made me happy for about 5 minutes. You know, and then it was like, now I need something else. So what did I fall to then is the other beautiful consumer addiction that we have in this country, which is workaholism. There's so many people that avoid their conflicts in their family and their personal lives, avoid thinking about themselves or like what they really want, and just work extra hours and work more hours because that's rewarded in our country. It's, you know, you taking extra time to be with your kids, not necessarily rewarded in this country. And it took me a long time to get over that because I was a child of the 80s and my mother was like, you're going to have to work twice as hard as a man just to get half as much credit or whatever. And so I was a 60 to 80 hours kind of girl, you know, the entire time I went to school full time, I worked full time. That was who I was. And all it really got me was exhausted. And I have to tell you, when I first started my own business, I probably put in 68 hours a week because that's, you know, new business, got to do this, blah, blah, blah. 2 years ago, I cut down to no more than 35 hours a week. I did so much better. This year, I cut out doing a lot of my social media that I thought I had to do like every day. It's like 3 times a month now. I only send one email a month to my clients not to my clients, but to my list, because I hate to come up with all that content too. I have more clients this year than I've had in the past few years, even though I've done a lot less. So I just would love people to rethink that sometimes doing less is actually doing more. Because what happens is I show up to my coaching calls really fresh, not fried out from trying to come up with stuff that needs to go on social media. I have more time to do learning for my own, you know, for my coaching business. I still am learning. So I love to listen to podcasts. I love to read books. I have more time for that. So I think that when we start doing the things that we actually enjoy out of the work, instead of just focusing on the things that we don't like, we show up differently. Mm-hmm. And so that just, you know, kind of flourishes through all of our areas of our life. People see us showing up differently.
Yeah, and because it's more intentional. When you spend less time and you're not trying to put it out there, you get to focus on the intention behind it. And when you show up in your full presence, people can feel it. And they know that this person is truly looking. Like, just like your hope, they want to be seen. They can actually feel seen when you show up in this space, not just you try to check them off a list. You know what I'm saying? And that's the goal. That's the goal, is for people to be seen. And then while you're hoping other people be seen, you get seen too. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's a both validating yourself and helping other people get validated in the process, mm-hmm. you know, shining through, giving people other opportunity to shine their light too. So mm-hmm. we understand, like, we have to show up intentionally. We don't just have to show up. We have to be present when we show up. And it's hard for a lot of people to be present because, like you said, anxiety. We don't live in our present moment either back here or up here.
We're here.
Yeah.
We're scrolling, right? Which means that we're also not present. We're in that other storyline or whatever, you know, is going on.
Just try to be present. Try to be more present. It will help you so much because that connection that you'll feel like, oh my God, I never felt this before. I never feel just being connected with somebody, just being lost in a conversation with somebody without thinking about your phone or thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, or thinking about what you didn't accomplish. You know what I'm saying? Just be present in that conversation or in that place and see how it feels.
Yeah. Give yourself some time to be bored. That's one of the... That's one of the things I've been telling my clients. Give yourself time to be bored. Like, I mean, there's something that happens when we get to boredom is it's like neutralizing our body. Mm-hmm. And because of the so much stimulation that we have, whether that's the Netflix and the Hulu and the whatever, or scrolling on our phone, or just the amount of information that's thrown at us in a day is just phenomenal. I mean, even 50 years ago, we didn't have the same type of information. Like, if you wanted to know the answer to a question, you had to think about it all the way to the library. You know what I mean? Like, you had to ponder how, you know, what the answer to the question was, and then hope that the library had the answer, right? I mean, they didn't always have the answer. So, and today we just get all this information so fast that our brains don't have that time to neutralize. They're constantly in that worry state of the future or in that shame place of the past or whatever, and we really have lost the ability to be bored. And I gotta tell you, some of my greatest ideas and things have happened in moments where I was bored, and most of my creativity, right? Like, I used to write a lot of poetry in high school or do sketches because I was bored. Like, why don't I do it now? Because I keep myself occupied. And a lot of those things, you know, I don't need to play games on my phone. Mm-hmm. I could be doing something creative, but I haven't given my body that time to be bored. And I think our bodies need that. Our nervous systems need that. So, yeah, so you can go, whoever's out there can just say, you know, Christina on this podcast said I should be bored, so I can't do anything for a couple of hours. Yes, absolutely.
And send them the clip. We're going to make sure we make a clip so you can send it to them. So.
Absolutely. Keep bored. I mean, I just think kids were so creative when they were bored, and now they don't have that chance. And so a lot of them don't. Some parents, you know,
yeah. Like, I mean, she'll take the box and make whatever she wants with it. She's like, I'm like, no, no tablet, no that. She's like, okay, mommy got a box. I'm like, yep, go ahead it. It into.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's what we need. I mean, that's how innovation happens, right? That's how new ideas happen. I think that's so special. Yeah. And I think that we take too much of that away from our children and ourselves. I mean, it's not just our, I know we'll do anything for our children. And we might consider using some of those tactics for ourselves as well.
Exactly. Well, before we end today's episode, would you like to give the listeners any advice or any skills?
Yeah, absolutely. I think self-love is a lot to being just gentle and compassionate with our humanness, you know, just remembering you're not a robot. I love Maya Angelou's quote that says something like, once you know better, you do better. Not always true. Sometimes we know better and it takes us a few tries, a few hundred tries to get it right. And that's okay too. But just being gentle with yourself and being compassionate, just as you would with somebody else that you love so much. And then really tuning in. Don't be scared to tune in, because it's all okay. Whatever's going on in there, we're all kind of a mess on the inside, and that's okay. We just get to love it and be gentle with it.
I love that quote. Like you said, once you know better, you should do better. But now I think it means once you know better, you have the opportunity to do better now.
Yeah.
Because if you're fear of what you're doing is no opportunity to actually change it. So just giving yourself the opportunity to see you is the best part. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we're clueless, and like you said, robots, we walk through the world thinking that this is it, and that's it. We don't actually explore more of what, instead of what we were presented with. And we're like, this is life. And that's why when people encounter other people, I'm like, hold on, that's possible? Never seen it in my life. Like people that come from unhealthy childhood, they're like, you can people actually talk to people like that? I never knew that. And people look at them like they're weird, like, what do you mean? Because people don't actually see people outside of their life. Like, this is how I always been raised, so I just assume everybody's life is the way my life was, and it's not true. So for us to see new things, we have to explore new things, and that bringing knowledge to self. You know what I'm saying? So just go and explore. And then once you know more, now you have the opportunity. You might not want it, but it's still a choice. Now, like you said before, you have a choice now. You have a choice of which road you got. You know you're not happy. You don't have to stay in this lane any longer if you don't want to.
But perfect example is, I had a friend just the other day ask me, well, Christina, what happens when you and your husband get really angry at each other and start calling each other names? And I'm like, whoa, we don't do that. Like, that's one of our boundaries. It's like, if it ever gets to the point where we're calling names or raise our voices, we know it's time to a cooling off period and coming back when the conversation is able to be a conversation and not a screaming match. And she just couldn't believe it. She was like, but that's how you were raised. Yeah, that's how I was raised. That's why I don't put up with that any, like, that is like, no, this is how I was raised. I do not want to repeat that. So there are so many ways of living our lives. And I think that it's really important to see lots of different perspectives. And I know that your podcast is really helping women open their eyes to other ways of, you know, not just loving other people, but loving themselves and really, you know, standing up for themselves. So thank you for having me on today.
I appreciate it. Can you please tell the listeners where they can find you, your website and your social media?
Sure can. My website is christina-smith.com. My podcast, which is currently on hiatus, but will be back in the fall, is at invitingshift.com. And you can find me on the Instagram if you just go through my website. But it's Christina Smith XOXO. And I am there. I'm on Facebook. I am everywhere. And if you are a midlife woman or any woman that wants to have a little bit more confidence, I do have a confidence toolkit that you can go to. If you just go to christina-smith.com, and you'll find the link to it, so that you can have some really core steps to really refinding your confidence, or finding it for the first time if you've never felt confident before.
I will have all of that linked down below in the show notes for you guys to access all of that stuff. Well, thank you for coming on the show today, and I truly appreciate you coming here and helping these listeners find a new way to love themselves and understand love on a whole different level, because I just want them to understand that love is more than just the tools that we get to practice it.
Yes, self-love is a practice. It's one of my quotes I use all the time. It is a practice. It's not a magic, I woke up and had warm, fuzzy feelings about myself one day. I wish it went that way, but unfortunately, no. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and, you know, staying all the way to the end. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, that's it for today's episode of A Sister's Love Podcast. But before we end, I would love for you to be part of our new support group. It's called A Sister's Love Support Group. And inside this group, you get access to resources. You get access to some of those guests that are on the podcast, and you can ask some questions. You also get access to a judge-free zone, a community of women who understand you and who's trying to help you on your journey of healing. So if you are a woman who is in the beginning stages of her healing journey and you need some resources, or you need a little bit of guidance, or you just want to feel welcome and loved and not judged, then you are in the right place, and I would love for you to join our group. All you have to do is click the link below and put your email in there, and you'll get access to the group instantly. And your first resource you'll get access is Creating Safety in Your Healing Journey. And this guide will help you navigate yourself out of survival mode, help you create a foundation of stabilization so that you can actually start your healing journey on the right track. So I would love for you to be part of my sister. All you got to do is click the link in the show notes. Until next time, bye.